Asking for help isn't a weakness. Asking for guidance and asking for somebody to hold you accountable does not mean you're doing things wrong. And one of the things that I implemented at lockdown, which has made such a huge difference to how I can help people understand that, are the free taster sessions that I offer. Because what we've talked about a lot is how every coach is different. And I'm not the coach for everybody. Not everybody will want to work with me, but they get to find out whether or not that's going to be the case by booking a free taster session with me.
You're listening to The Grow Show with me, Gary Jones.
Hey everyone, and welcome to this edition, this episode of The Grow Show. Now, The Grow Show is here to help you grow yourself, grow your business, and grow your community. And today's guest is a legend. If you've been to any kind of networking meetings across the country, you might have heard her name. And if you haven't, you might have seen her branding. She is called, and my guest today is called, Sheena Wyatt. And she is Kapow, your super business coach. How are you doing, Sheena? How are you getting on?
I am awesome, Gary. Thank you so much for having me here today. I really appreciate it. I'm doing pretty darn good. How about you?
I am doing super. I am doing fantastic. So for the people who haven't heard about Kapow and about yourself, tell us a little about you, what you're doing at the moment and how you're helping your clients and customers.
It's been a really interesting time, actually, Gary. Do you know what? I worked out this morning. It's been 5 months since we went into lockdown. Can you believe it?
Wow.
Absolutely.
For the people who are listening and watching, we're recording this in mid-August, even though this is going out in September. So it's been 5 months.
It's astonishing, isn't it? Because there's part of you that feels like it's always been like this, and then a part of you that's thinking it feels like it was only yesterday. And so, you know, to answer your question, if you like, is that I've been working really hard over the past 5 months to help not only my existing clients, but new clients adapt to survive and plan to thrive, how they're going to make their businesses work in this weird and wonderful online business world that we're all now part of and had no idea we were going to be. So, you know, through the coaching that I offer, it's just helping people find a way forward and move them from step to step and get them to just keep going.
And you know what? It's so important. It was so important, you know, a year ago, 2-3 years ago, 5 months ago, it changed, as you said. Completely and utterly changed. So where did Kapow come from? Where did it all start?
Oh golly, how long have we got? No, it's you know, I, as you mentioned earlier, bless you, I've been part of Four Networking as an organization for 10 years this year. And all of that time I was on a team, chose to take a team role, etc. But I had that rather classic thing that I see quite a lot of my clients have now. I've been in networking, doing the thing for around about 5 years. And to be honest with you, the wheels had fallen off the bus a bit. I was putting all the effort in and I was, you know, but I just wasn't getting anywhere. And frankly, I was in a bit of a mood about it. And so I took the opportunity at a 4N meeting to bend the ear during a one-to-one of someone we both know, also very highly recognisable in 4N, which is Stefan Thomas, you know, author of Business Networking for Dummies, my good friend. And I was giving him a proper talking at. You know, this was not a two-way conversation. I was giving it plenty. And basically saying, I just don't get it. You know, I'm doing all this networking. I just can't get anybody to buy my stuff. And when I took a breath and allowed him to get a word in edgeways, he basically went, let me ask you one question. What do people ask you about when they have a one-to-one with you? And it was like somebody had gone boom round the side of my head. And I thought, bloody hell. Yes. What do they ask me about when they have a one-to-one with me? They ask me how I do what I do, how I grew my business, how I do what I do as a public speaker, how I do what I do to motivate and get people forward. And it was like a light bulb going on. And literally, I looked at Stefan and went, kapow. And then went, oh, that's good. And 72 hours later, the physical branding was done. The first workshop was put out there. 2 weeks later, it was full. And I haven't looked back. And that was 5 years ago.
No messing. So you have... It took someone else to kind of get that idea from you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I find that so much with the clients I work with. So much of them come with great big, you know, they've got big ambitions and they've got great ideas. And it's either global domination or it's, you know, simply going to the next step. But they just don't know how to get there. You know, they know what they want. They know what their, you know, their passion is. But they just feel that they can't move forward. Or they're in that really classic spot of, I'm stuck in a rut. I don't know how to get out of it. And I'm just going round and round in the same goldfish bowl every day. And it was exactly that. It took someone from outside my business, where I'd got so bogged down in doing the same thing all the time and wondering why it wasn't working, to actually go, it's your fault. You're the problem. Because what I realized on the back of that conversation was I'd been so busy trying to sell people something they didn't want that I hadn't seen they didn't want it. And so I just got this massive frustration of, why will you not buy my stuff? And then thinking, because you don't want to, because you think it's shit. So, you know, you want to buy something different from me. You want me to provide something differently. And sometimes it really does need that fresh pair of eyes from outside your business to help you work out what's holding you back.
I completely 100% agree. And actually, that doesn't even kind of, that can kind of go forward to all facets of your business. You know, take branding and marketing, for example, especially branding. You can be really close to your brand and you could have a fantastic brand idea which works really well in there, but you need a designer or someone with those skills to actually have a fresh look and go, well, actually, do you know what? Are your customers going to engage with it? Are your clients, and does this resonate with you and them? You know, and sometimes it does take that outside force to do it. And once you step back and go, crap, that's actually true and I need to get people in,
yeah,
it becomes so much easier. It becomes so much easier and it flows so easy.
And I think the other thing that's really important is that you have to feel it here. It's one of the things I talk about with, you know, my coaching clients, and my background is learning and development and also personal branding and all that kind of thing. And people get in such a muddle about all that branding stuff and, you know, all that kind of thing. And it's just, you know, you've got to be authentic. You've got to believe it and you've got to feel like it gives you joy, because if you don't feel that, then your physical branding can sometimes also be holding you back. You know, you're trying to, a mistake that so many people fall into when they start their, I'm going to use the J word, journey, in business or self-employment or whatever, is they think they've got to be really corporate. And if that is the kind of product or service that you're going to give, and you need to generate that feeling of trust and that feeling of longevity and that feeling of, you know, just, you know, faith and support and safety, brilliant, go for it. But, you know, it doesn't work for everything. And quite so many times you just see people, don't you, working completely disjointed from what their physical branding is. They're not in parallel. And that just makes it really difficult to get the things you really care about to be part of how you do business. And that's so important. You've got to get it in the fields, or it's just not going to work.
Exactly. And I think we've all been there. You know, we need to either take on a project or working on a particular, maybe working with a client or working in a profession that doesn't really sit well with us. It doesn't fit in with our ethoses. It goes against what we believe in some shape, way or form. Mm-hmm. And there's always a disconnect there. And people can tell if it's you talking to someone at a networking event and that person doesn't really believe in what they're saying. Yeah. It comes across. It might not come across with what they're saying, but in their mannerisms and the way they're kind of acting, you can tell. And that's where people get into the rut of saying, well, it doesn't work. Yeah. But actually, it's not the process. It's their belief and matching it up with what they're doing at that particular time.
It absolutely is. And I think so much of that as well is, you know, one of the things that I've been talking about a lot with people through lockdown is, you know, you have to give yourself permission to do a couple of things to stop going round the bend. And, you know, and one of the things you need to give yourself permission to do is to recognize when a client relationship is going toxic and kill it. Not the client, the relationship, just make that clear. But also that it's okay to change direction. And I think we get so fixated on, this is where I'm going and this is what I'm going to do and this is what I set out to do, that when it becomes apparent that that's not the way to go forward, what we see is failure. And it isn't failure. You know, I think you get to a point where you're thinking, do I love this anymore? Am I loving doing this? And, you know, I had a great example of that for me with one of the really early Kapow products that I was trying to flog and nobody was buying it. And I was just getting really just really demotivated. So I took a step back and thought, take a look at what it is. Why isn't it selling? And the reason it wasn't selling is because I didn't like doing it. So, you know, so it's like, so just stop and don't think about it as being a failure. Think, right, I've learned from that. I've learned that, you know, that's not something I feel comfortable doing. So let's just stop, refocus, change direction, celebrate that change of direction. And then just, allow yourself, give yourself the freedom to make those decisions. So you just don't keep holding yourself back, like on the back of the elastic band. You know, if that keeps pulling you back to somewhere that you don't want to be, you need to snap the band and keep running forward.
I love it. And I was talking to an innovation firm probably about 2-3 weeks ago, and they've got a team of 3 or 4 different people in each pod. So their business is made of, let's say, 5 or 6 pods. I can't remember the amount. 3 or 4 people in each pod. And literally they have a set of kill metrics for each project that they're all working on. And after 2 months, if they haven't hit that kill metric, they place it on the back burner, because it might not be the right time or might not be the right people involved in it. Take the lessons learned and then move on to a different project. And that's how the pods work. And that's a great way of kind of celebrating things not working fully, because do you know what? You've still learned, you've still gathered information from that. It's exactly what you've said. But you're celebrating the fact that you've done it and then you go on to the next job. It's brilliant.
Absolutely. You know, to quote the cliche, every day is a school day. And, you've got to learn the lesson and think, okay, right, you know, what worked, what didn't work, etc. And then instead of just hanging on to the, but it has to work. I think, no, it doesn't. The last time I checked, I don't know about you, Gary, but there was no manual you could buy from Amazon that says, this is how you run a 100% successful business, 24/7, 365. You know, we all go into thinking something's brilliant and then you think, maybe not so much, or something basically just gets to the end of its lifespan. It had a great, career life, as a product or a service. And then, people move on, your audience moves on, your passion for it moves into a different direction. You just got to adapt with that, roll with the punches and keep going forward.
Yeah, it's definitely okay to think like that. And it's okay to go through that. Because as you said, everybody does it. Everybody goes through that. I'd say again, that J word, journey. But everyone's going through that different points of it. You mentioned earlier on about you've been in learning development before going into the full coaching. Does that kind of complement the coaching side of it, or how does that kind of work for you?
It does, because I think the biggest thing that I find with that and the coaching, which is really interesting, nobody's asked me that question before, and it's a really good link. I spent the best part of more years than I would like to say, as a trainer, a freelance trainer, a sole trader, and then, built a big company up, blah, 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 blah. But the one thing that holds in common is you create an understanding and a skill for understanding how people learn. And a big part of coaching is, coaching is very different to mentoring, and every coach is different. But it's recognizing and being able to adapt how each of your individual clients wants to take information on board from you. Now, I'm a massive visual learner. My wall of brain, which sits here, is the stuff of legend, and it's covered in post-it notes and all kinds of things because my head looks like that and it's scary. So it's easy to get it all out there, and then I can control it and plan it and what I want to do. And that's great if you're a visual learner. And from a coaching perspective, that means that you're seeing big pictures. And from my point of view as the business coach, is thinking, this is great. You've got the great big ideas, but what I need to do is to bring you down so that we talk about the small steps you need to take to make the big ideas happen. And then you have the people who fixate on the small. This is the thing I need to do now. And it's okay. Yeah, that's great. But now you need to do this. And they tend to be more linear learners, people who like to plan very much step by step by step. So the learning and development background means that as I get to know my coaching clients better, I can adapt how I help them by looking at what they're responding to. When we do the catch up, when we do the action, what have you done? What have you not done? Okay, what's that telling me? That's telling me that that's maybe a bit outside your comfort zone, or frankly, you just hate it. In which case, we need to find different ways to get you down that path so you achieve the goals you want.
I love that. I absolutely love that. And I'm reading a book at the moment called The One Big Thing. I can't remember who wrote it. I think it's Gary Keller and someone else. And they talk about... literally the domino effect, where you've got one, at the back, you've got the 5-year plan, you've got the someday kind of goal, which you what you were saying, and then, but you've also got that one thing today. You've got that one small domino. And if you knock that one over, you'll get added to that week, that day. Then you go on to the week, then the month. And I'm just fascinated about people's journeys and how people got into where they're doing now, because I really think there's been some, with coaching, for example, you've mentioned that, but there's a difference between coaching and mentoring, and every coach seems to be doing it slightly differently, maybe getting the same results, but they're going to be different because they're different. Their methods are going to be different. And do you see a lot of people going from the learning development world where you are educating people in different ways and going into the coaching because it's similar? Or are you, I hate to say it, an oddity in that respect? I didn't know how to phrase it, so I just wanted to throw it out there.
That works for me in so many different ways. You know, I would say actually I'm going to go with the latter, and that's not blowing smoke up my own backside. Where L&D professionals tend to go is into consulting. So they will, you know, they will gain all kinds of experience. And, I did that for a while. It didn't float my boat. You know, because there was no direct connection with the people who were learning. It was all very much talking with managers and learning and development, you know, heads of department and things, which was great on one level, but I never got to know the learner. You know, it was always this, we think we need this, and thinking, yeah, but have you actually talked to the people that you're going to put this in front of? So I chose to go down that coaching route, you know, very much on the back of that conversation with Stefan, because you know, when I was raging against the machine, nobody buying my stuff, that's because I was trying to sell them corporate style training. And as you well know, for networking as an organization, that's not really who the people are who come and network. Right. You know, they're not looking for that kind of thing. And it, you know, I just got stuck in that rut, couldn't see my way past it. And then when I thought about what Stefan said, and I thought about, you know, the question he'd asked me, what do people want from you when they have a one-to-one with you? And I took that away and I thought, right, let's actually sit down and think about that properly. Let's, you know, what are the questions? Thankfully, I can't find it now to show you because you never can when you do you. But I always have my trusty networking book. So at each net, I've been in the network 10 years. I've got about 12 of those.
Wow.
And I make notes about every face-to-face one-to-one I've had. So I went back to those books on the back of that conversation with Stefan, started to look at all the different, you know, what they asked me, what were my next steps, what were the things I said I was going to do, and very quickly realized that what they were looking for was guidance, motivation, but most particularly a thumping great kick up the arse to get things done. Accountability came up time and time and time again. And that's where coaching gets you to come in and go, great, let's make a plan. Let's make an action plan. These are all the things I'm going to tell you need to do. And then, as my husband would tell you, Gary, basically, I nag people for a living.
Are you the kind of person who would send a kind of a message with a question mark if you haven't got anything? Is it that kind of merch, or is it a bit more general?
There are different levels of getting involved with the cafal that you can choose. And so to use my husband's analogy, you can have the top level naggy to death, down to the naggy once a month. Most people go for the naggy once a month, but a few people come in and so it will be, you know, we agreed you were going to do this week. You haven't done it yet. Poke. And do that. It depends on, you know, how much accountability / nagging they really want. But I think what's also important as a coach is that sometimes you have to recognize that it doesn't matter how much you poke that if they're not doing it, there's a reason. And then the next step is thinking, right, let's try and find out what the reason is. You know, you either thought this was a great idea and then you've gone away and thought, actually, that was a bit rubbish, and so you've fallen out of love with it, and that's fine. Or you've said you were going to do something that just doesn't float your boat. How many people have you met since lockdown started who had all these big ideas about the book they were always going to write, all these blogs they were going to do, you know, and have they done it? Mm-mm. Because the amount of time isn't what makes it happen. It's wanting to make it happen or having the skill to make it happen. And sometimes with coaching, you know, when you think, yeah, they still haven't done it, it's been 3 months and we're talking about the same thing, gives you the opportunity then to go, let's talk about why this hasn't happened. Do you either need to outsource it, or do you need to learn the skill to get it done? One of those things needs to happen to move this to the next step so you can get to that big goal, that big ambition. And so as a coach, sometimes you also have to recognize when it's time to stop nagging and start giving them some direction to go forward.
Without realizing it, or with realizing it, you've just given people a massive roadmap of how to get from where they are now to where they could potentially be. So many little golden nuggets in that, just that one snippet. Thank you so much. I've got to talk about your branding, because you've got the banner behind you. And for people who aren't watching this on YouTube, pop onto the YouTube and literally check out the branding on this, on the banner, because it's fantastic. And after talking to you for this even short amount of time, I can tell that that branding is you, and you are that branding. You are completely one. Did that come up straight away? You said it took 2 hours for the branding to kind of get sorted, but was that a quick process, or did you go through a couple of changes to make that?
Oh, it was brilliant. It was a really quick process. And I have two or three people to really thank for that. So, you know, on the back of the conversation I mentioned earlier, I literally flipped over a 4M placemat. Remember those?
Yeah.
And sketched out the whole, right, you know, I've used the word kapow. Where is my brain going with that? And, the first thing I drew was a little stick figure with a cape on, you know, in the whole kind of da-da. And then I was thinking, right, you know, that there's some word association here, or letter association here, that's rolling around in my head, and I need to try and get that out. So, you know, knowledge, approach, personality, organization equals win. And that's all the key steps about getting your business from where it is to where you want it to be. And I thought, right, that works. Let's do that. And at the time, one of my group leaders for the Retford Breakfast Group was, lovely chap called Neil Duckmanton, who at the time was running Upbeat Design. And, he was at the meeting, and I just kind of went, what do you think, you know, about that? And he went, yeah, leave it with me. What I didn't know is that Neil was about as big a Marvel DC Comics fan as I am. So I had basically just given him the mother load, yeah. You know. I want to look like a superhero, Neil. There you go. And so he went, yeah, great. And that's, so I say, 72 hours later, the first draft of Superhero Sheena came through with all of this fantastic physical branding. And then when Neil moved on and went to do something else, it's been picked up by Dan Laws of Nettle, who is now responsible for all these fab backgrounds and all this kind of thing that really make it pop. So yeah, it's fantastic. I love it.
Brilliant. So please, listeners, check it out. So it's been 5 months since lockdown. You were a massive networker beforehand. How have you adjusted onto the online kind of networking? And are you looking forward to going back to face-to-face afterwards? I know we're recording this in August, so you potentially might have gone to a network event in between then and now. But how are you feeling about it all?
Interesting question. So part of my backstory is that, you know, I'm a cancer survivor, so I'm in an at-risk group. So when we went into lockdown, I went into isolation. And so I'm obviously still shielding to a degree. I am absolutely loving the online networking. When I was doing the face-to-face networking before we went into lockdown, was running one of the largest regions for four networking that went from the Humber down to Cambridge and everything in between. It was massive. And much as I loved it, and I really did love doing that role for 4N, you know, we're all volunteers, as you well know, and I loved it. What became really quickly apparent when we started online networking was how restricted that had been for me. And I just hadn't seen it. Because, you know, with all the, I think I had 24 groups at one point, it was mad. But it just meant I couldn't go anywhere else. I could not network anywhere else other than in my own region. And, you know, only one me. I wish I had the superpower to clone myself, but I don't. And so what that meant was that I was talking to the same audience all the time. And although, you know, I love foresighting, I love public speaking, you know, and that's great and that's lovely, I wasn't getting kapow out in front of people who didn't already know what it was about and had already in their head made up their mind about what they thought about it. So yeah. Online networking for me has been an absolute revelation. And it is the absolute 100% truth. I have done more new business in the last 5 months than I have done in the last 12. Through online networking with 4 networking. It's been astonishing. So yay, online networking. I'm not quite so keen to go back to the face-to-face until I feel like I'm going to be safe. And I know that sounds very, very, selfish, but you kind of got to be. When you're at risk, you've got to look at yourself first and then think about the people who will come with you. And so I think potentially when it comes back, I'll dip my toe in a little bit, but the online works so well for me and I can go anywhere at all, and I've been lucky enough to go in Foresight in Scotland and in Bath and Kent and all sorts of places, and I love it. So that's definitely what I'm really enjoying at the moment.
Brilliant. And I don't think it's selfish. I don't think it's anything bar being safe for yourself and looking after you, looking after your community. And actually, I think that's what a lot of people think. I really do think, because I'm the same. I'm hesitant about going face to face. I've been asked to kind of do a Foresight, so for people who don't know, a presentation slot in a 4M meeting at 2 face-to-face pop-up meetings. And I've said no to both of them because I don't feel ready yet to go out and do it. Like you, I've had more business in the last 5 months than I have, well, new business in the last 5 months than I have the last 12. So I like it. I like the fact that I can be talking to people up in Scotland and then down in Taunton and Norfolk and everywhere in the same day. You couldn't have done that before.
No, I think I love it. I do too. And, you know, and I look at it and think, if it ain't broke, don't try and fix it. You know, it is creating great opportunities for everybody who gets involved with it and gets involved with it with energy and passion. You know, it's just like the face-to-face stuff. Rocking up to one online meeting every couple of weeks isn't going to crack it. But if you get stuck in and, you know, it's so much more accessible, it's so much more affordable, and that becomes the bigger picture. You know, we're not having to drive, as you know, my furthest group as a regional leader was 2.5 hours away from me. You know, that was a whole day, and 5 hours in the car and all the extra, you know, cost of petrol and, you know, killing the planet and all that kind of stuff. And it's just like, my commute now to come to a networking meeting is about 3 steps from my kitchen, which is just there. And it's fantastic. And I love it.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. Now, I think we're going to be having a further chat later on. So thank you so much for your time today. Let's finish it off with your one thing that you want to leave this interview with. So for the listeners, this is your one takeaway point that's going to kind of help them. But also this is your main message. So Sheena, what's your one big thing for today?
My one big thing for everybody who's listening to this today is asking for help isn't a weakness. Asking for guidance and asking for somebody to hold you accountable does not mean you're doing things wrong. And one of the things that I implemented at lockdown, which has made such a huge difference to how I can help people understand that, are the free taster sessions that I offer. Because what we've talked about a lot is how every coach is different. And I'm not the coach for everybody. Not everybody will want to work with me, but they get to find out whether or not that's going to be the case by booking a free taster session with me. And in that taster session, I'll ask a couple of pointed questions that will just allow them to talk to me about their challenges, their ambitions, their dreams, and I can give them an idea about how coaching could help them move forward. So what's my big takeaway, my golden nugget for your listeners today? Don't be afraid to ask for help. It isn't a weakness. It's the first step towards where you want to be.
I absolutely love it. Thank you so much. If people want to find out more info about Kapow and connect with you on different social medias, where are you? Where do you hang out?
I'm all over the place. You're going to find my website at kapowme.com. You can also find me on Facebook, the Kapow Your Super Business Coach, and you can find me on Instagram at Kapow Sheena.
Boom. Boom. Thank you so much, you can also email me
if you want, Sheena at kapowme.com.
Can't forget email. Thank you so much for your time. Let's catch it again for another episode, maybe early next year. Yeah, I think that'd be quite a nice gap between to do that. But Sheena, cheers for your time and thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure, Gary. Thank you very much.
Now, a real quick message before we leave the show. Just wanted to let you know that we have got a Facebook page called The Grow Show Podcast. So type that into Facebook, The Grow Show Podcast. This is where you'll find all the latest updates, news, events. Plus, also, this is where you'll be able to get on The Grow Show as well. Plus, listen to previous episodes. So, hope you enjoy this podcast. If you do, please share it with peeps. But also, let's connect on Facebook under The Grow Show. Take care, my friends, and I'll see you next time.